Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Fentanyl. Many people in Ireland will recognise the name of the synthetic drug, which the Gardaí have warned will increasingly become an issue for the state. Last year, it killed more Americans aged between 18 and 49 than traffic accidents or guns. While here in Ireland, there have been a number of high-profile death and overdose incidents involving fentanyl. So where does it come from? And why has a drug that started as a prescription painkiller become the cause of a public health emergency in the United States? Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Kieran Southern, who is the West Coast correspondent in the United States with the London Times. Kieran, you're very welcome to the programme and thank you for being with us. I mentioned there that here in Ireland we have started to see cases of fentanyl. This is new for health and emergency services here in this country. How long has the United States been grappling with this, though?
Yeah, fentanyl has been a major issue in the United States for almost about 20 years now. It first started to become prevalent just around the turn of the century. And then there was an explosion towards about 2010 in use, spreading from the East Coast to the West Coast. And it sort of devastated cities across America. It devastated every level of the class system in America, from the very poor to the very rich. Many celebrities have been killed by fentanyl. If you take a walk around the downtown area of San Francisco, for example, or Los Angeles, you'll see these squalid scenes of vast homeless encampments where a lot of the people who are living there are hooked on fentanyl.
And why is it, can you explain to us, that it's so big in the United States, but we haven't seen it to that extent at all here in this part of the world?
I think a lot of that comes down to geography. Fentanyl, as you said, is a synthetic opioid. It's different to what came before it, namely heroin. And a lot of the chemical constituents of fentanyl come from China. They ship from China often to Mexico, where the drug cartels then finish the chemical process into fentanyl and then smuggle it across the border into the United States. This is hugely profitable for the cartels. It's making them hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars. It's a huge, huge problem for the United States, who has spent a fortune trying to grapple with it. But the experts I've spoken to have said they fear it's just a matter of time before it takes hold in Europe, as it has over here.
And that's the danger for us. And you describe so well how dangerous the drug is and what it's like, what the people who take it experience, and how that's on a knife edge. So there's the high, but right next door to that is unconsciousness and death. Will you just take us through that?
Yeah, so once an addict takes fentanyl, they experience real high. But the thing is, it can be very short-lasting. So an addict, once they get used to the drug, they can take it, get the high, and then before they know it, they're already out of the high and then withdrawal symptoms, which can be incredibly painful. They'll do anything to get the hands on the next hit. And as you walk around some of these cities, certainly on the west coast of America, where there's a more permissible attitude towards drugs, you see scenes that wouldn't be tolerated in Europe, certainly in Western Europe, and it can be quite jarring to see for the first time. But you will see addicts stumbling like zombies through the streets, sort of like statues that stood up in some instance. It's really frightening to see the effects of the drug.
Mm-hmm. And this is the next-gen crystal meth, is it? Is that another way to describe it?
Yeah, it sort of completely destroyed the heroin market in the many cities in the United States, just because heroin is much more difficult to cultivate and less profitable. One of the reasons fentanyl has become as prevalent as what it has done is that, one, it's relatively easy to produce, unlike, say, a cocaine or marijuana. You don't need vast tracts of land to produce it. You just need these small makeshift factories that you can put in the middle of a residential neighborhood a few miles from the US border. And then, crucially, it's relatively simple to smuggle across the border. Because it's so potent, you can the amount that would fit in a shoebox, for example, and then you can sort of smuggle that in a truck or even in a car across the border, and that can make you millions and millions of dollars. And that's partially what has made it such a formidable foe for government.
There's a quite terrifying description in the piece you've written about the testing of the recipe that the Mexican cartels do, you know, how they get the mix right, how they get the dosage right. They're experimenting all the time with that in order to come up with the right formula. How does it work?
Yeah, there's many different methods that they use to produce it, but essentially they order the constituent parts over from China. And one of the frightening things is that it doesn't take a chemical genius to make this. You know, you don't have to be a Walter White to produce it. All you need is a sort of rudimentary understanding of the process. And they sort of refine it over time to make it more efficient. But then, yeah, it's hugely potent.
In your piece, though, as well, we hear that some of the drug cartels are kidnapping people in order to test the formula that they've put together on them.
Yeah, that emerged in a criminal indictment that the US unfolded against senior cartel members. They were basically, you know, in the wild world of the cartel where nothing is off limits, you're actually kidnapping people from the streets and then injecting them with the drugs until they overdose so they could work out what the correct dosage was.
It's beyond horrific.
Yeah, I mean, the frightening scale of violence with the cartels. And that's another part of the problem. America is putting a lot of diplomatic pressure on Mexico to try and stop the flow of fentanyl across the border. But the cartels exert such force on the other side of the border that in some cases they overpower the police forces, in some cases they overpower the government and the military. So it's incredibly difficult. I mean, Donald Trump got elected last week, and a big part of his platform is he's going to take on the cartels. But other than unleashing the American military on them, which he has threatened to do, some experts believe, you know, he's going to have a hard time actually fulfilling those promises.
Now, you spoke to a woman called Michelle who has a very sad tale to tell about her own son, and she's on a mission now to help people who are addicted to fentanyl. Tell us a bit about her.
Yeah, so Michelle's story illustrates just how prevalent fentanyl is and how, unlike previous drug epidemics like crack cocaine in the 1980s, it's not confined to a single social class. Michelle lives near San Francisco, quite successful family, they own a chain of hardware stores. Her son, Trevor, he began smoking cannabis as a teenager and then he graduated onto harder drugs, namely prescription painkillers. He got clean and then he moved away to college. He had a relapse and while he was away at college, he took what he thought was a prescription painkiller. That was actually a counterfeit prescription painkiller that was laced with fentanyl. Very common for the drug dealers to do, the cartels to do, because of fentanyl's potency. It's very cost effective to put it into other drugs. But because of its potency and because Trevor wasn't used to it, he overdosed 18 years old. And his mother, Michelle, as you said, she's now on a mission. She's made it a life's mission to alert others to the dangers of fentanyl, the dangers of a single pill. And that, yeah, taking your life into your own hands every time. Basically, any time you take any kind of drug in the United States now, you run the risk that you're taking fentanyl. It's been found in cocaine too.
And she goes out at weekends, is it, with this T-shirt saying overdose awareness, and she carries the antidote drug with her?
Yeah, she hands out naloxone, which is the name of the overdose reversal drug. And she's part of this sort of informal network of bereaved families, especially bereaved mothers. I've spoken to many bereaved mothers who have lost a child to fentanyl. And now that is their life's work. They'll spend the weekends, the weeknights traveling around the state, around the country, just trying to get the message out there of just how dangerous this drug is. And all it takes is one one pill, one tablet, and that can be the end.
And what is the American government doing? I mean, you said that they are trying to put pressure on the Mexican government to crack down on the cartels. But in terms of the healthcare end of this in the States, what are they doing?
Yeah, there's been many different tactics of trying to get a handle on this crisis. I mean, more than 70,000 people a year are dying of fentanyl and synthetic opioids. A lot of money has gone into prevention and trying to raise awareness. The overdose reversal drug, they're trying to get that into as many hands as possible at a state level. And then there's the diplomatic pressure. At a summit last year, Biden raised it with President Xi of China. China has said in years past that they'll do more to clamp down on the export of the chemical components. But I think all eyes are now going to be on the Trump administration and his stance towards the Mexican government, because if he does unleash the military, which he has threatened to do, a lot of the hawkish elements of the Republican Party have called on him to do it. And if you look at the staff he's trying to get into key positions now, they are all very loyal to Donald Trump and sort of ideologically aligned with him. So whereas in his first administration, you have people telling them no, it's unlikely that that's going to happen. So I think one of the things to keep an eye on over the next few years, the next 4 years of Donald Trump's term, is seeing how much pressure he is willing to exert on Mexico to stop the flow over the border.
And listen, back to where we started. I mean, given all of the work that you've done on this, Kieran, do you expect that we're going to see this in large volumes in Europe, in Ireland and in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much pointing that way. All the experts I've spoken to have said it's just a matter of time before it does come. I was speaking to a professor from Stanford University earlier this year, and his fear was that America has sort of had over a decade now to get used to fentanyl. But his fear is that when it does arrive in Europe in large numbers, the population isn't going to be prepared, and because it's so potent, there could be a wave of overdoses, and it could take many years for society to sort of get used to such a devastating drug. And, you know, we are many years into the epidemic over here, and all the sort of experts I've spoken to don't have much hope of getting a proper grip on it anytime soon. And say America's just going to have to get used to fentanyl and learn to live with it. And maybe down the line, we're going to be saying the same thing about Europe.
It's a terrifying prospect. Kieran, thanks for telling us about it. Kieran Southern is the West Coast correspondent in the United States with the London Times.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.